We're all familiar with earthquakes. The tectonic plates that make up the Earth's crust get frisky and start violently shaking what we thought was once a stable ground. But is this natural phenomenon strictly confined to Earth, or are surfaces of other planets moving? Does Mars experience earthquakes, or should I say, Marsquakes? On this episode of the Oxford Sparks Big Questions podcast, we are looking at the red planet and asking, how do you measure a Marsquake? Hello, I'm Emily Elias, and this is the show where we seek out the brightest minds at the University of Oxford, and we get them to weigh in on those tricky questions that may help us understand our solar system a little bit better. And this journey to space starts in the basement of the hard-to-find Atmospheric, Oceanic, and Planetary Physics Building in Oxford with two researchers who know how to send stuff to space.
So my name is Jane Hurley, and I am a project manager at a national lab called RAL Space, which is in the Harwell Science Campus near Didcot, and I spend part of my time at the University of Oxford in the physics department doing sciencey stuff.
My name is Tristram Warren. I am a postdoc here at Oxford in the Atmospheric Physics Department, and I am also doing sciencey stuff.
As for that sciencey stuff, on a white countertop in the lab sits a very small sensor that detects shaking. It's called a seismometer. This tiny piece of equipment is being sent to Mars as a part of NASA's InSight mission that is set to launch in May.
They're basically trying to work out what the internal structure of Mars is from a kind of geophysical perspective. So on Earth, we use earthquakes and the way that the energy from earthquakes bounces around and how it refracts and reflects to find out things about the Earth's core and mantle, crust, that sort of thing. And what we're hoping to do on Mars is use a similar sort of Marsquake data to find out things about Mars. So whether or not it has a solid core or a liquid core, whether or not it has gas that comes out of the surface. And this ultimately helps us answer the big questions scientifically, like, you know, how these sorts of planets formed, why Earth and Venus are the way they are, but Mars is slightly different. It's smaller, it's less dense. So kind of the bigger science questions, but stemming from stuff that we're quite used to doing on Earth.
The seismometer Tris and Jane have lost years of their lives working on looks kind of like a razor blade that's about the size of a pound coin, and it's got these kind of micro-machined springs on it, and its job is to wobble around when things wobble around. Or the more technical description is, it's a thing on a spring.
So the proof mass, which is the bit on the spring, is kind of wedged between two magnets, and then as the thing on the spring moves across between the magnets, we inject a current into the proof mass, and that what we're trying to do is stop the proof mass from moving, trying to keep it still. And by knowing the amount of energy we have to put in to keep it still, we can infer how much the ground is wobbling by.
Scientists believe Mars is a one-plate body. So unlike Earth, there are no tectonic plates that are shifting against each other. And Jane says they aren't 100% sure that there are Marsquakes, but they have a lot of evidence to suggest that they do happen.
From a lot of imaging, the high-rise imaging, they have things like boulders that are much too big for something like wind to have blown. And you can see a boulder with a trail below it, and if a boulder had rolled and you had a windy thing, you would expect there not to be a trail, a recent trail, because there's so much wind on Mars, and there's nothing really big enough to cause that sort of displacement of something so massive unless you actually have the ground moving. So there is evidence, and hopefully we'll get better measurements than Viking.
ACS is close to vertical. Nav is green for touchdown.
Green for touchdown. ACS is green, 1.5 degrees per second.
Back in 1976, when NASA launched the Viking mission to Mars, there was a seismometer attached to the spacecraft, but Tris says there was a flaw in the design.
So the Viking missions, they didn't move their seismometer off the deck of the lander. So they weren't sure if they'd seen any Marsquakes because it wasn't very well coupled to the Martian soil, and it had no protection from the Martian wind, which is obviously a main source of error in these instruments, because you can't decouple the wind very well from the ground movement. So the InSight mission has got a robotic arm on it, and it's going to pick up our seismometer and place it on the Martian soil directly. So it's much better coupled to the Martian soil.
Scientists have been trying to get a new seismometer on the planet for years. But Jane says the project just never quite materialized.
So there was a thing called Netlander. It was supposed to be an orbiter and four landers, and it was meant to launch in 2007, but it got canned because it was too expensive. And then it kind of came back to life as something called ExoMars that was supposed to launch in 2011, and then that slipped to 2016, but it also got canned because NASA backed out because it was all just too expensive. Of course, ExoMars exists as something else now, but different to what it was. Then rose from ashes again as something called GEMS, which didn't get cancelled, but it did have a name change in 2012, which is when I came in and became known as InSight, which is what it still is today and still hasn't managed to get cancelled.
Originally, the InSight mission was supposed to happen in 2016, but you guessed it, things fell apart. The InSight spacecraft looks like a big picnic table with wings on it. And on board are two seismometers. The primary one is built by the French space agency CNES, and the backup is built by our British team. But there was an issue with the French one back in 2016.
The French seismometer just wasn't ready in time. And to be fair, our seismometer, it was ready in time, but we had some difficulties and were cutting it close to the launch as well. So what the issue with the French seismometer ended up being that they have to put their seismometers inside a vacuum chamber, and they have to keep that vacuum to a very high level. So if you have any leaks, then the performance of their seismometer just starts deteriorating. Because they can get it ready in time, the way the orbits of Earth and Mars work, you have to wait 2 years for the next window, because, you know, by the time Mars gets to being in a position where you can send something to it again in a sensible time frame, you have to wait 2 years for it to come back round. So the mission ended up being delayed by 2 years.
And with these two extra years to work on it, the British team has had a little extra time to perfect the gear. The actual teeny seismometer itself was designed by principal investigator Tom Pike from Imperial College and Ian Stanley from Kinemetrics. The team at Oxford has been working on the packaging, so it can actually make it to Mars and not break in the process.
Yeah, so it's difficult. I mean, obviously, like you said, the seismometer is designed to take tiny, you know, designed to pick up tiny motions, and is basically a free-moving thing on a spring, so you don't really want to... Yeah, if you have all these really nice terrestrial seismometers around that, and you look on the data sheet and they just say, you know, you package this thing in cotton wool and don't drop it, whatever you do. Yeah, and we're sticking it on a rocket and sending it to Mars. And one of the things to note about the seismometer designs we have is that they, during rocket launch, it's not like we're clamping the thing on the spring to stop it moving. It's just moving, which makes it even more tricky.
And to make sure that it is not going to be destroyed as it leaves Earth's atmosphere, you need to test it. And you need one special piece of equipment to do that, a vibrating table. So this vibrating table kind of looks like a giant paint shaker that you'd see in a hardware store. Tris superglues the device to the table and then cranks it into rocket mode, exposing the seismometer to the equivalent of a launch.
The launch profile, so this is the launch of the rocket plus a little bit more just to make sure.
But it's not just the shaking you have to worry about. The seismometer also has to be able to withstand really cold temperatures, the vacuum of space, and oh yeah, radiation.
Well, first it comes down to getting the right electronics components, some of which I'm pretty sure we got were actual bomb bits, because we were told you can't look at these, you can't test them. If you do test them, you can't publish them. You can't in any way like scrape off the black plate to see what it says under the black plate. It's really great. I picked it up from stores along with my Christmas shopping one day. So you send them to test houses where they basically send different radiation sources at them up to a certain dosage, again with a buffer, because you always want to make sure that you've got more than enough space, headroom, and if they survive and they don't change in performance, then they're probably safe to send.
And so continuing our lab tour, Tris and Jane take me to another room and they show me the housing for the seismometer that's going to be attached to the spacecraft. And it kind of looks like a gold postmodern paperweight and has a wire sticking out of it that goes into a little monitor.
Yeah, so then we have the electronics connected to an oscilloscope, which is just a trace of the actual voltage coming out from it.
So kind of looks like a hospital monitor almost.
So if you give the floor a tap, you can see the seismometer trace coming out, and that's your signal from you jumping.
This is the signal that they're hoping to get from Mars.
And Mars, we typically will take like 100 samples a second or something. I think there's on board there's some algorithms which try to look for event detections. So you know, big changes in signal, a bit like when we bang on the floor and we get this spike here. They've got onboard detectors trying to detect that, and they'd be like, oh, this looks cool, and we want to send this back. So you wouldn't necessarily send back everything. You'd try and find the bits that look good and send them back.
And so this May, Jane and Tris will head to California to watch their hard work blast off and start the 9-month journey to Mars. And right now, they're feeling okay.
At the moment, I'm quite calm. If you'd asked me that question 2 years ago, when things were really quite last minute for us and we were trying to scramble to meet a 2016 launch, it would have been a very, very different situation. But I think now that we've delivered, and we think we've delivered something that should work, she says, touching wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of out of our control at the moment, isn't it? Which is, I think, in this situation, a good thing. It's a nice place to be.
My first time ever going to a launch, so I have no idea. Not really sure what to expect. I'm hoping it'd be like the movies and we get to see the countdown and cheer.
Well, I think so, yeah. Although one thing I am a bit concerned about, because Vandenberg is an Air Force base, I'm a little bit concerned there's not going to be champagne. Oh man, the European team is not going to be happy. Yeah, dear Mr. Security Guard, you don't mind if I just bring this in, do you? Yeah, so we're already kind of planning the launch trip. That should be quite a lot of fun, and I think a good celebration to the end of, oh God, more years of life than we probably want to admit to.
And then they just have to cross all of their fingers and hope that InSight lands in one piece, so that the real work to find the elusive Marsquake can begin. This podcast was brought to you by Oxford Sparks from the University of Oxford, with music by John Lyons and additional music from Lee Rosevere. A special thanks to Jane Hurley, Tristram Warren, and thank you to all of the other folks who are going to be drinking champagne. They are Bruce Bannert, the principal investigator for NASA's InSight mission, and, of course, the Oxford team. They're made up of Simon Calcutt, Neil Bowles, John Temple, and Andy Clack. Tell us what you think about this podcast. You can find us on Twitter. Tweet us at Oxford Sparks. We are also on Facebook. And if you want to hear a song written about the Mars quakes, go to Oxford Sparks' website, oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk, and look for the musical abstract. I'm Emily Elias. Bye for now.